I've titled the message today, Just Like Jonah. Matthew 12 and verse 38. It says, one day some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority." But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." And Jesus continues, "The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on judgment day and condemn it. For they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent." Just like Jonah. It's interesting at this portion of scripture that Jesus is already well into his ministry. There's been many miraculous signs. There's been blind people healed, lepers healed, people healed with just his word. And in this very setting of time when the religious leaders say this, he has literally just healed someone who was unable to speak, blind and possessed by an evil spirit, and this person was healed. And the religious leaders said he must have done that by the devil. And now they come to Jesus and say, "If you really have authority to speak these kind of things, show us a sign." Do you ever think about that? What exactly were they hoping for? Had they ever seen a leper healed before? And yet, the religious leaders were asking something that was actually asked in Old Testament times of the prophets. You see, the prophets of old, we read that they did have miraculous signs proving their authority. Moses, for instance, when God told Moses, "Will you lead my people?" And what does Moses answer after? He's like, "Well, what if I ask, you know, who sent me? What am I supposed to do? Are they going to believe me?" And God says, "Here, take your staff, throw it down, and it will become a serpent. Take it by the tail, and it will become a staff again." And in a way, he was giving him a miraculous sign to prove that he had spiritual authority. So they were asking something that had happened in the past. It had happened with Elijah. Elijah was a man of God, and there were miraculous signs that happened in his ministry proving his authority. At one time, the king sent 50 men to go capture Elijah, and he was sitting up on the hill, and the captain of the men came up, and he comes in front of Elijah, and he says, "The king is demanding that you come down right now." And Elijah says this, because the captain came to him and said, "Man of God, the king is commanding." And Elijah says, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and kill you and your 50 men." And fire came down from heaven. Now that's a sign you don't want. And I'm pretty sure these guys weren't wanting that kind of sign at all. But it's as if nothing was enough to make them believe that Jesus was who he said he was. There just wasn't anything good enough. They needed one more sign. And they were really saying, "We want a miraculous sign, something different than healing and deliverance and blind people seeing." Have you ever met someone who has got their mind made up that they just are not going to believe? No matter what? No matter what you tell them, no matter what's going on, they have got their mind made up that we just don't believe this. Show us something more. We need a better sign. And that's exactly where they were. Speaking about signs, maybe they were thinking they could get a sign like happened with Isaiah and King Hezekiah. Isaiah was a prophet. Do you know that we don't read any miracles that happen in Isaiah's ministry except this one? He gave God's word. He comes to King Hezekiah, and Hezekiah is sick and dying. And he comes and he brings the word and he says, "Hezekiah, God says, get your house in order. Your days are up." He heads out of the court, and the king, it said, turned his face to the wall and begins to weep to the Lord and says, "Please give me more time. I don't want to go yet." The king weeps, and God hears him, and he speaks to Isaiah again and says, "Okay, you can turn around. I've got another message for him." He comes back in, and he says, "The Lord's heard your crying. He's giving you 15 more years to live." And what does Hezekiah say? "What will be the sign that what you're saying is from God?" So this was something that these religious leaders would have known happened in old times. And so they were kind of thinking, well, we're kind of in line with Scripture. Does anyone remember that story, what Isaiah's sign was? Isaiah didn't rebuke him. Isaiah didn't say, oh, you're an idiot. What do you even want a sign for? Isaiah's like, well, what do you want? Do you want the shadow on the sundial to go ahead 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Now, Isaiah maybe didn't know as much science as we do nowadays about what that would have taken to make that happen. We understand that the earth spins and shadows come by the sun and the spinning of the earth. Hezekiah says, oh, let the dial go back, let the shadow go back 10 degrees. So they didn't have clocks, but they would have sundials, and the earth turning, the shadow of the sun would go on the dial, and that's how they would tell time. To go back 10 degrees would mean that the earth would have to stop and go backwards about 40 minutes of time. That's why it was a sign. You see, when God would speak through a man of God, there would be an impossible sign that could only be God. And because it could only be God, then people would believe the word. So they are coming to Jesus, give us a sign. And of course, Jesus has done so many miraculous signs already. He says, you guys, you're not going to believe no matter what sign you get. He already knew it. But he said, there is going to be one more sign, and it's going to be just like the sign of Jonah. 3 days and three nights he spent in the belly of a whale. But 3 days and three nights, speaking of himself, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. Now, Jesus was really only saying the similarities will be this 3 days. But when you look at the story of Jonah and the story of Jesus, there are a lot of similarities. You see, Jonah was a prophet who gave God's word to God's people. And one day God comes to Jonah and says, Jonah, I want you to go take a word to Nineveh, that great city, Nineveh, he says. And Jonah doesn't like it at all. Jonah doesn't want to give a word to Nineveh. Nineveh is a bunch of evil, wicked people, but not just evil, wicked people. They are Jonah's people's enemy. And they are a large empire, an Assyrian empire, and Nineveh was the capital of it. And they were a military power that oppressed Jonah and his people continually. They were known for their torture, their ruthlessness. They had brutal warfare tactics like skinning people alive, cutting off limbs, decapitating, spearing people through with poles and standing them up there for all to see. These were evil, wicked people. And Jonah says, you want me to go give them a message? And Jonah says, I don't think so. Why would I go give a message? Now, you need to understand something. When God gives a message to a prophet to give to people, there's a reason. Jonah knew something about God giving messages. You see, God is telling Jonah, I want you to go to them and tell them that in 40 days, they're going to be wiped out. Well, Jonah hated these people. He was upset. He should have been happy. But the thing is, he understood that when God gives a message, he's also giving a way of escape by the very message he's giving. How many times have I heard through my life, or you've seen it on Facebook, people, don't judge me. If God is speaking to you, if God is saying something about your sin, it's because he's giving you another chance. If you were being judged, you'd be in hellfire right now. That's judgment. Someone speaking the truth is not judgment. It's God's truth with that truth making a way for you to escape. If you'll choose it, and Jonah knew this. Jonah knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt, and he was like, I'm not giving these people a chance. He basically tells God, find somebody else. I'm not doing it. And he gets on a boat headed for a place called Tarshish. And while he's in the ship sleeping, a great storm comes. Everybody's up there praying to their gods, whatever god they have. Save us. We don't want to die. Jonah's asleep. And he is headed the exact opposite direction of Nineveh, sound asleep. Mind made up. I'm not helping these people. Let them burn. That was his attitude. I've met some people like that once or twice. It's all about me and my group. As long as we're okay, who cares about anybody else? Ouch. Church, you and I were not put here in this community to only care about ourselves. And you got some enemies, I guarantee you they weren't as nasty as Jonah's. And God looked down and he saw you and he said he wanted to forgive you and help you. He also wants to do the same for your enemies. And so Jonah's asleep and they wake him up. You better call on your God because, you know, we need this storm to stop or we're all going to die. And then they did something called casting lots. It'd be like getting the short straw. Okay, everybody pick a straw. Whoever gets the short straw, it's your fault. Jonah picks the short straw. And they're like, man, what did you do? You're getting us in all this trouble. And he says, well, the storm is my fault because I'm running from God. And then Jonah says something that just kind of will blow your mind. Throw me into the sea and the storm will be over. Now you got to read through this a little bit. Jonah isn't getting like God-given direction. Jonah is actually taking this a step further. I'm not going to go tell those people. I know if they throw me in the sea and I die, I definitely can't tell them. Jonah's one stubborn guy. Now he is stubborn. So they throw him in. I am 100% sure Jonah is sinking to the bottom thinking, well, that's the end of it. I'm about to die and that's good because then Nineveh can get what they deserve. But God has prepared a fish. Oh, God is in the preparing business. You try to run from God, he is preparing a fish. That fish will keep you alive, but you are not going to like where you're going. Just say it. The fish swallows Jonah. He is in the stomach of a fish with the acid and the, you know, maybe a couple of squid heads and some. It's terrible. And staying alive in a fish for 3 days is impossible. That's why it would become a sign to the people of Nineveh. For 3 days, he's in the fish, and it says that he ends up calling out to God and saying, okay, God, I don't want to die. Save me. God then commands the fish to spit him out on the shore. He makes his way to Nineveh, and when he gets to Nineveh, he heads into the city. He walks a day's journey. The city is 3 days to walk from side to side, about 120,000 people. And he gives one short message. Anybody want to guess what the message was? God loves you, just do whatever you want. No. God loves you so much, don't let anybody, you know, tell you you shouldn't. No. Some of you are like, I want to hear about Easter. Come on, get going. We're getting there, we're getting there. Not at all. Jonah just stands up wherever he can, talks as loud as he can to the people, and guess what he says? Because of the sin of this city, in 40 days, Nineveh will be wiped out. He doesn't add, if you repent, you know, it could change. He's not giving them anything. God just told me I had to say that. That's all he's saying. And he's angry, and he just keeps walking through the city. 40 days, your city's going to be wiped out because you're so stinking wicked. I'm paraphrasing a bit. But you get the picture. The guy doesn't like him. He's probably mumbling under his breath. It's about time they get what they deserve. 40 days, and he keeps walking. Well, something miraculous happens in the city of Nineveh. The king says, you know what? This is real. This word has got to be from the gods. They didn't know Jonah's God, but they knew there were gods, spirits. And why did they believe Jonah? Why did they believe Jonah's words? Because there had been a sign that this guy had divine direction, because word had gotten to them, guaranteed, that this guy spent 3 days in a fish and got spit out to give us a message. They knew it was impossible, and they also had gods of the sea and of the fish, and in those days, any large fish was a monster. He basically got eaten by a monster and got spat out to come give him a message. They were listening because of the sign. 3 days, three nights in a fish. It said that they put on sackcloth and ashes and they begin to mourn. And they actually said, maybe this God of Jonah is merciful. Let's repent. Nobody ate. No kids, no people, not even animals. The king said, we are going to repent. We're turning to him. And God spares the city. Jonah becomes so angry about this again. You see, he went off to the edge of the city, you know, far enough distance when fire comes down and it all melts. He could see it, but, you know, not get hurt, I guess. And he's sitting out there and God makes a plant grow up to give Jonah shade. And Jonah's like, wow, this is great. God loves me. He's giving me shade. And then a worm comes, kills the plant. The plant dies. The next day, God sends a heat and a wind and Jonah is ready to die again. If you read the story of Jonah, this guy kind of wanted to die a few times. He's ready to die again because the plant, and he's so angry at God. And God says, Jonah, do you have the right to be angry for this plant? And Jonah says, yes, I do. He actually answers God back, angry. And God says, really? This plant that you did nothing for, that came up in a day and left in a day, you're angry about it, but you care less about 120,000 people who have no clue what they're doing. And he said, besides that, a whole bunch of animals. God cares about animals too, apparently. How is this similar to Jesus? And obviously Jesus said, there will be a sign, 3 days and three nights. You see, there's some similarities with Jesus and Jonah. Did you know that the first thing Jesus preached was repent and believe the good news? Repent means to turn from your sin. Jesus loves people so much, he told them the truth. And the first thing it said that he went and did was repent, turn from sin, believe the good news. Jesus was also a prophet, and he actually prophesied that Jerusalem would be destroyed because they wouldn't repent. God's holy city, the city that he would go into, and they'd been putting palm branches down and saying, Hosanna! And he prophesies it'll be destroyed. Luke 19:41, I'll just read it. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. In that first scripture that we begin to read, Jesus said the same thing. There will be a sign just like Jonah. The Son of Man will be in the earth 3 days and three nights. And then he ends that portion of scripture. Let me say it again. What does he say? On the day of judgment, the people of Nineveh will condemn this place because a greater than Jonah's here, but they won't repent. See, the word repent means come to him, turn from what you're doing and follow him. I'm going to give you truth, but I'm not going to be like Jonah and just leave you hanging there, figure it out on your own. I'm going to give you truth and tell you there's an amazing God who loves you more than you could ever imagine. You see, Jonah was actually God's savior for Nineveh. God wanted to save Nineveh. He sent a loudmouth prophet who didn't even want to be there to give him a word. Jesus was God's savior for all people. You see, he brought a message of repentance from sin and the gift of forgiveness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And oh, they wanted a better sign than people being healed and lepers cleansed and blind people seeing and spirits being driven out. They wanted a better sign. You see, Jonah's message was for an evil, wicked people, the worst of the worst, because God cared about them. Jesus' message of repentance and forgiveness is for all people, even the worst of the worst. The most evil, wicked person you can think of, Jesus died for them also. His message was for them. But a sign was yet to come that no one would ever doubt. A sign was yet to come that you and I still talk about today. A sign that would be told every generation and a sign that will last for all eternity. The sign of the Son of Man. 3 days dead. 3 days in the tomb and he would come back to life. You see, this Easter story that we tell every year around this time is a story of unbelievable love and mercy of God the Father. A story of Jesus, the Son of God, made flesh, dwelling among us, who would come and sacrifice himself for you and I. You see, Jesus, shortly before he would be arrested and then hung on a cross, ends up in a garden, weeping tears of blood, saying, God, if there's any other way, please, a different way, but God, your will, I'll do your will. And he makes up that decision then and there in the garden, I will go to the cross for the people. You see, Jesus would finish his prayer and he'd get up and he'd be betrayed by Judas with a kiss. They would arrest him And they would try him, the chief priests and elders, and there would be those there that would spit on him, and they would hit him with their hands and mock him and saying, if you're really who you are, prophesy, who hit you? What a horrible attitude. And here he is. They have no idea he's doing it for them. Peter tried to stay close to Jesus because he really was thinking, I'm not gonna go out on him. I'm going to stick with him. He was one of the toughest disciples. He had some willpower. But willpower wasn't enough in that moment. And he denies Christ 3 times. In the morning, the priest took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. And the governor is like, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. I know, we'll just choose. Release this guy, Barabbas, or Jesus. Barabbas was a horrible man, and he was pretty sure, oh, they'll pick Jesus. But no, they didn't pick Jesus. The crowd actually turned against Jesus. The religious leaders turned them against Jesus. It's a horrible thing when people use their mouths to try to turn others against somebody they don't like. That's kind of a people thing. And they convince him to turn. And they begin shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus is whipped and beaten. The soldiers then from there, it says that he actually goes to Herod and they put a robe and crown of thorns on his head, a purple robe, a reed in his hand. And they bow before him mockingly. And they take the reed out of his hand and they beat him on the crown of thorns on his head. The very Son of God. And his mind is already made up. He's going to do this for you and I. He's going to do this for the very people that were beating him on the head. But yet he had the power to walk away at any moment. He said, I can call the Father and he'd send 10,000 angels right now. But he continued. He's finally led to Golgotha where he's nailed to a cross. And it said the soldiers gambled for his robes. And the crowd began to mock him again. And they looked on. The soldiers had put a sign above him that said, King of the Jews, to make a joke and a mockery. And people began to yell things at him. And, oh, if he's really who he is, why doesn't he come down from the cross? Jesus looks at this mocking crowd. And you know what he says? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe you know some people in your life that have really hurt you and messed up. They probably don't know what they're doing. So often we are quick to want people to get what they deserve, but we didn't get what we deserved. Each of us here who is a believer can say, I didn't get what I deserved. He forgave me. He made me new. Hours later, Jesus would holler out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And finally, he would say these words, it is finished. We're told there was an earthquake and the veil of the temple ripped in half. And it actually says that some people came alive out of the graves with what was happening at that moment. The body of Jesus was taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they laid him in a tomb. Soldiers were placed at the entrance of a sealed tomb to make sure he didn't get out. 3 days later, 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus has been dead in a tomb. And Mary Magdalene and some others head to the tomb early Sunday morning with the spices for burial. And when they get there, the tomb is empty. His body isn't there. And there would be a sign for all time, just like the sign of Jonah. And every person who would hear of it, and every person who would see him, you see, when Jesus came back to life, he didn't just come back to life and disappear. We're told that he appeared to over 500 of his followers. Some individually, some in a group. And the final group, he stood on a hill as he was raised up off the earth. And he gave them their final commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them what I've taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they would go from place to place and they would tell about Jesus and how he had been in the tomb for 3 days and he was raised to life. You know, many have heard this story and some have doubted. Some have said, how could it be true? And all through history, they go back and they realize it is true. Did you know that every one of Jesus' apostles died brutal deaths holding to the truth that Jesus was real and he spent 3 days in a tomb, but he was raised again to life? You see, if they were making up a fake story, all 12 of them would not have held to it and been killed brutally. People who make up fake stories give up on the fake story pretty quick when their life is at risk. This is real. Jesus, the sign for all time, just like Jonah. You see, the Easter story is the story of how Jesus freely gave his life for all humankind. This was God's response to mankind's sin. Jesus coming and dying was God's response to our sin, just like Jonah was God's response to Nineveh's sin. Just like Jonah, but not quite. There's a big difference in Jonah and Jesus' story. You see, Jonah in his pain, and I don't know about you, what pain you've been through or who's hurt you, but you are going to need to forgive them. Jonah in his pain wanted to die so that evil, wicked people would get exactly what they deserve. Jesus, in his extreme pain, wanted also to die, but he wanted to die so that evil, wicked people could be completely forgiven and transformed. If you're a believer here today, what are you willing to give up to see a hurting, messed up world come to him? I say this, Jesus was willing to give his life. The disciples were willing to give their lives for who? People that were far from God. Believers, can I challenge you this Easter? Step it up a little. I don't know what else to say. When's the last time you prayed for someone unsaved? When's the last time you went after them? When's the last time you sacrificed a little bit? Just a little. They need you. Some of you, God is calling you to step out further. I believe there's some in this building that God's calling into ministry. In other words, you're going to give it all up. And there may be some of you that are being like Jonah right now, and you're like, I ain't going. They can have what they deserve. But I want to finish with this today. Maybe you're here today, and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've heard this message before. Maybe you've met church people and they've hurt you. Maybe you know a Christian or two that's a big fake. And you're like, I don't want nothing to do with church. That's fine. You don't have to have anything to do with church or messed up people if you don't want. But you do need to hear this message of what Jesus did. And you need to accept it for yourself. Because you see, the message that he brought has to be received. The gift that he paid for, you have to receive it for you. When all those people heard Jonah, they could have said, wow, that's a great word, I believe it. But if they had done nothing, it wasn't for them. When Jesus came and he said, I am dying in your place, then it must be received. So I need to ask you the question. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, do you want it? Because if you do, it's pretty simple. You see, if you've never accepted that salvation gift, Scripture says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is real, that he died for you and 3 days later rose again, if you believe that, then you can use words and you will be saved. It's that simple. And so I'm going to do what we do here each time. We take opportunity to use words in case there's one or two that have not yet said, okay, God, I want your forgiveness. Again, I'm not asking you to join our church. I'm not asking you to act like me. I'm saying, do you want to receive what he gave? That's all I'm asking today. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to repeat this simple prayer with me. It's going to let you use words for what you're feeling right now. And I can tell you, God will transform you. I'm going to ask you as a church, believers as well, to join me for those who may be doing this for the first time. If you will repeat this after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that.